This is where the fun begins. This is where the fun begins. This is where the fun. This is where the fun. This is where the fun begins.
Who's the big guy with the muscles?
This is where the fun begins.
Who's the big guy with the muscles?
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Toy Anxiety. My name is Craig Goldberg. It is 9:30 on a Tuesday. Abby's not here. She said bye-bye. Nope. But we got a substitute. We got special guests. Lots of special guests tonight. It's going to be great. It's going to be awesome. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show. Hope everybody's having a wonderful start to their week. And it's Valentine's Day Eve. So if you need to get a...
You're out of time.
It's over.
Amazon delivers overnight.
cut to
Hey.
Don't roast the guest.
Trust me, I'll look rougher tomorrow when my wife realizes I've forgotten it's Valentine's Day.
No. You know what? There's a long, known remedy to that. Just say, I had to do a podcast last night. Yeah.
You won't believe me. She certainly won't be watching it.
Well, welcome everybody to the show. Let's not, bury the lead here. Joining us tonight, our new friend, he's the First Timers Club, Steve Evans, joining us. He's in the Toy Anxiety hot seat. This is going to be fun, though.
Real hot seat.
No stress tonight. This is going to be good. This is going to be really great.
Me and Abby as well.
Yes, people get bummed when Abby's not here. But she'll be back next week. I don't want to give out her business, but she had a dentist appointment today. She's in a good amount of pain.
We miss you. Everyone misses you.
Yeah. But Steve, let's not talk about that right now. Let's talk. We're going to say out of the chat. I'm going to introduce all my co-hosts. But Steve, you're joining us. I feel like everybody here probably knows who you are. But if you want to give us a rundown, like a 30-second snapshot of, everything in your life that has led you to this moment, go for it.
I'm pretty quick at doing that. I don't know whether it's 30 seconds. So, hello, everybody. My name is Steve Evans, aka Mr. Stevie18 on Instagram. I have the decided pleasure of working for Hasbro. I currently lead all of fan product development for all Marvel and Star Wars. So, Marvel Legends, Star Wars Back Series, Star Wars Vintage Collection, Retro, and everything in between that is under those two licenses. I've been at Hasbro 25 years this year in a couple of months. And I have zipped around and done lots of things. I started off graphic design, packaging. I've done branding. I led Monopoly for about 3 years creatively. I've helped with TV shows and movies. I've done app development with Sesame Street Partners and done Star Wars and then Marvel. And now I'm back on Star Wars and Marvel. Looking after, hopefully, best I can, for the fans, the collectors, like all of you lot out there. And that's 28, 29, 30 seconds done.
Love it. Thank you. Well, I mean, when the announcement came out a couple weeks ago that you were back in charge of creative and directing the products for all the adult collector lines or the collector focused lines for Star Wars and Marvel, I think people were really excited about that. So I know we were. We talked about it. So
that's very kind. It's very kind. Yeah. I'll just do my best.
He's going to do his best.
I'm never going to give everybody everything they want. No, it's impossible. Right. That's half the beauty of it. Yep. But I will do my best, and I consider myself connected to the community. I live it every day. So, and I'm always open to hear opinions and thoughts.
Sure.
Good, bad, and ugly is my little motto. Yeah. So it's all good.
And, just kind of a heads up to the chat. We'll if you guys have questions as we go, we'll get to stuff. Obviously, we're not going to be talking about future releases and things that haven't been announced. You guys know the drill. But having said that, do what you're going to do, because you're not going to listen to me, but we'll acknowledge, we want to have good high level, genuine discussion about what it is like to be a toy collector. Maybe we'll get a little bit in insight on the being on the other side of the house, and we'll have a good time. And then later on tonight, Attack Peter is going to be joining us from Mondo to talk about the brand new creature figure that dropped. And he'll probably come in and just start hailing insults and roasting us, and it'll be great. It's gonna be awesome. I can't wait. Let me introduce our co-host, all the way from Vancouver, British Columbia, Ryan Dole. What's up, man?
Nothing. I'm really just happy to be here today, and work slowing down, and I'm feeling more energetic and happier, and everything's great. Happy to have Stevie here.
Yeah,
because already, like, I'm just gonna like toot your horn here, Stevie, because we knew that Star Wars was already on the way to just becoming such a better fan brand the moment you started making those beautiful checklists.
Oh,
we love checklists. Holy moly.
The retro check, like, I'm a retro completist basically, but when the checklist hit, I was like, wait a minute, because I didn't have all the prototype ones, and I was like, the checklist is out.
That's the only way I learned how to. I'm gonna sneeze because you're making me so embarrassed.
No, you're good. Are you gonna sneeze? Bless you.
Are you gonna sneeze? No, I'm not gonna sneeze.
Okay, wow.
If I suddenly sneeze, I've given you fair warning. No, checklist, yeah, it's the only way I learn. I'm a visual learner, so when I came back and you know, I kicked off the retro line when I was still on Star Wars. So when I came back, I was like, what's been going on? What have you been doing? And so that was the easiest way for me to learn. And I, as I said, was a graphic designer. So those things come easy. And I was just like,
that's awesome.
I'll just put it out there. It's all right. It's all good. It's all found images. So it's all images that are out there. So, and I've just finished the vintage collection one, which was a beast to do.
Oof.
A beast.
Oh,
yeah. Like,
that's awesome.
Yeah. 16 pages of 11 by 17 inch.
If I see that, I'm going to go.
I think.
Yeah, I got to see whether we can put that out. But
there's a way to do it. I think there's a way to do it. I think if you put it as a little booklet that comes with the vehicles, like the old, like the old Kenner booklets.
Well, that's what I was. That's what I was going to say. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Those lists instantly make me think of either those booklets or just the back of the way the cards used to be. So
yeah.
There's you can't beat right in checklists. It's what, to be honest with you, I feel that checklists and backer pack kind of cross sells were the thing that helped drive us, the thing that helped us, especially as we got older, sort of realize there are more things out there.
Yeah.
Sort of, I would say it's the first step into collectordom.
Sure.
That word has made it up.
Mm-hmm.
But no, for sure. Like, you buy one figure, you go, oh, well, now I know there's more. So I'm a big proponent of checklists and cross sells and ways of communicating the bigger
world. Well, because when you're a kid and you buy a Ghostbusters toy and you open up the booklet and you go, wait a minute, can they got Beetlejuice too? There's RoboCop. And then you realize your parents are just liars.
This is all they got. They don't make
up that RoboCop. I know you said grab some stuff you pick up. I've just got one I remember, but you
go
keep
for
talking.
It.
I'll
go
be
for
back.
It. Yeah. He's in the D top.
I see some Ghostbusters back there.
Yeah. Jacob, what's up, man?
Hey, I'm doing well. Had a good nap before the show. So
yeah, good.
I'm all napped up and it's great.
I picked up this Kenner RoboCop. When was RoboCop? 1988. Yeah,
There we go. It went flying behind you. It's like, oh, the caps. Oh, I love that.
Nice.
My cat is eating the cat.
Okay. Cat's gonna blow up. Oh my god. Chaos already.
Yeah. You are the perfect Abigail replacement, by the way.
Yeah. I recently started buying Kenner RoboCop and have very much. I'm amazed at how well those figures are made. There's a good heft to them because they got it's like vac metal. It's just really good.
It's really good. I was pleased with that one. I was a little old for RoboCop toys, but not now.
Yeah, never too old now. Hey,
your wife's in the other room. She hears the cat. He's playing with his RoboCop toys.
By the way, everybody, there's a lot of people watching already. We always ask you to do this. Hit the like button, hit the subscribe button, interact in the chat, leave a comment, let YouTube know that this is something that you're enjoying, and tell the algorithm that you're having a great time. That's what we always say. We have
algorithm.
Yeah. Algorithm. Great guy. Steven Shanks with a super chat. Because Steve is pretty, and this is 1 cent higher than what Matt Bush gave. Oh, yeah. Steve Shanks has made it to the leaderboard of top super chats. Oh, wow. There we go. Hey, there's a lot of people here. Should we just go ahead and start saying hi to the chat? Knock that out real quick.
Let's do it.
All right, cool. We do have one more super chat from Davey. If you give us more Monk series, Ewoks, and Shadows of the Empire figures, I'll vote for Steve as Hasbro CEO. Oh, yeah. Oh. The big CEO vote's coming up. Everybody knows that. The big election.
Yeah.
the Rhode Island primaries. That's what we call them. No. You know, listen, we appreciate the super chat. But all right, let's get to it, guys. Definitive Toys is here. Dorlaxon. Whoa. Tony Tapone.
Hang on, that's Aid Edmondson from the Young Ones. Deep cut, deep British cut on that last.
Oh, really? Which one icon. Was it?
Yeah, the one
before. Dorlaxon.
Oh, Dorlaxon.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. There,
Vivian from the Young Ones. Good British company. Well done.
Very cool. Let's see here. Peak Obi-Wan, Patrick Gerard, Shondo Gecko, like we said, Stephen Shanks, Anthony Garten, Definitive Toys, Against Al, or maybe Against AI, one of those, 78. Rick Shattered Glass, Jazz is here, Lawrence Dwayne, Dr. Janos Poha is here. I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Zach Myers, Jessica Parker, Brock Parker, Hyperdelic, Johnny Cox, C Scorner Run, the Deadheads from Forlom to Zuckus. Our good friends Jake Stevens is here. And I think he's planning a trip or something. Otherwise, I think he was gonna maybe try to join us. Tony Taylor, Mike Hext, Peak Obi-Wan, and so on and so on. BC DeLorean and other movie cars as well. Lots of people here tonight. We appreciate everybody's continued support of what we do here. Okay, so let's
hang on, just want to give this one a shout out too. Toy Collector Magazine.
Toy Collector Magazine.
Hey, Blake.
Blake's awesome. We love Blake.
Hey, Blake.
So is that it? Are we done? We haven't even really started.
End of the show.
Sure. So Steve, let's kind of start here. We usually start with pickups, but just to kind of for our audience who doesn't really, you know, I feel like everybody probably follows you, but if they don't, what piques your interest these days in toys and toy collecting? Because you are a hardcore collector first.
I am most definitely a childhood collector. So I'm collecting a lot of retro. Most of my stuff is retro. Mm-hmm. I have this thing about getting stuff that I used to have,
mm-hmm.
and it also helps me knowing that it's a finite amount. So, like, if I'm collecting Dukes of Hazzard, I know there are like 8 figures,
right.
So I can start and finish. Very important mm-hmm. to me. Whereas, like, the sort of more modern lines, I get a little intimidated by the amount of I don't know when they're going to end, kind of thing. He says as he works for lines that just keep going and going and going.
Right.
But most of the stuff is retro. I'm getting through all the stuff that I had when I was a kid, and now I've reached this point in my life where I'm like, well, if I was still 8 years old, I probably would have got Black Hole figures because I didn't when I was younger, but I'll get those. So I'm finding excuses to find new stuff and collect new stuff. So I'm sort of expanding, like I've getting Gremlins, Robocop. You know, I didn't buy Robocop toys. I was the wrong age. So mostly retro stuff, but I customize some bits and pieces as well, just to
I think that's pretty on brand with us too. I think we all love our modern toy lines, and we all have different modern lines that we collect, but there's something about vintage and, like you said, either getting the stuff you had as a kid or picking up the stuff that you didn't know existed, or maybe, you know, I don't know. I definitely had some of the Robocop figures as a kid, but I didn't have like the vehicles, you know, and I guess there wasn't any play sets, but it's been really fun going back and collecting that. And Kenner Ghostbusters, Playmates, Ninja Turtles, like we're all about it.
It's all good stuff. It's good stuff. Actually, the one I haven't got any turtle stuff, I'm ashamed to say. And I don't know why. I've got real Ghostbusters. I've got the Fire Station and the, I got an Ecto-1 without the decals on. So I like opening stuff. People know that. I like buying loose stuff.
Yeah.
But I like them really, really good condition. So I often buy boxed or carded, but battered boxed or cards, so I can take them out. And so like the Ecto-1 I got, and it still had its deco sheet. So I take great pride in doing what I did when I was a kid, which is rip things open and put the stickers on.
Yep.
Craig does the same thing. He's not going to admit it, but he does. He likes to buy vintage figures, brand new. But unlike you, like what I wish he would do is what you do, is where you put the trigger warning of like, hey, if opening vintage toys like freaks you out, do not watch this reel.
Some people get really offended. I've had people really go for me and like, hey, man, you shouldn't be buying that because that leaves it, that it takes it away from someone else. And I'm like, it doesn't, because they could have bought it.
Exactly. I have a very, Jake, we have pretty strong opinions on, like,
yeah,
you know, if you buy it, it's yours. You could do whatever you want.
If you want to open it, open it.
I mean, I'm not going to advocate somebody buying, you know, I don't know, on card Boba Fetts and ripping them open. But if you do, I'm not going to lose sleep over it because I have bills to pay and other things to worry about. Also, I've opened up some pretty expensive.
I was going
to
say our big stunt was ripping open some, you know,
Ecto-Glows. Well, what are you going to do? Well, chat, keep it coming. We'll get to you guys. I did want to touch on this a little bit, Steve. So obviously none of us work in the toy industry. 25 years. Can I ask you this? What's something that's really different now that you wouldn't have been able to predict? Like what has evolved in your job where it's like, this is just so different than it was 15 years ago?
I would say the obvious one is sculpting, you know, the toys even up until reasonably recently, you know, even don't want to say like 10 years ago, everything was sculpted still in wax, sculpting wax. And now it's all on ZBrush. So that has evolved. The whole digitization of the whole process.
Yeah.
You know, we can render stuff out in KeyShot and it's all kind of 3D ZBrush and we can sort of paint up 3D models. We still make on a lot of the lines, we still make models or print out models in 3D printing and paint them up. So, but the whole digitization is probably the biggest change. Sure. Tastes have kind of stayed the same. You know, I'm of the opinion kids still play the same way. They find different platforms to do it. Obviously, you can't ignore the increase in kind of video games and digital worlds and Fortnite and things like that. But there's still always a need for physical play. And just the rise of us, you know. Grown people finding solace in childhood things.
Yeah.
And the acceptance that it's okay to do that now. Like, you know, people knew I collected figures when I was 14, 15, I kept that very quiet. I'd have had the crap beaten out of me. Now it's cool. You know, it's geek chic. So that's changed a lot. And then obviously social media, again, has just connected us all together. I would never have met you. Why would I have ever met you if, you know, 15, 20 years ago? So
right.
That's true.
Especially in England, our dial-up was awful on the internet. We've never met. Download episode one trailer, and it was like 220 pixels.
Oh yeah. I remember, in the 9th grade, 10th grade, whenever the first Lord of the Rings Fellowship of the Ring trailer came out, my teacher was obsessed with Lord of the Rings, and he made us all gather around his computer and watch it on Real Player, and he's like, I've been downloading it all night. It's here. And of course I was dumb. I was like, what's this? Lord of the what? What's this about?
And he still doesn't know.
And I still don't know. So there you go.
Yeah, that's sad that I was 20 years ago. Over that. Oh, when was that? 2001? It was Harry Potter and Lord of the Rings. That was when I heard
Lord of the Rings,
my second year into Hasbro, and we were like, oh, because there wasn't, you know, I joined Hasbro in 99, so it was episode one. So that was the big thing. That's kind of the reason I joined Hasbro was to get free figures. I was like, I can get free figures. And then when I joined, it had this sort of like, boom, Harry Potter, boom, Lord of the Rings. And it was just like, all these massive franchises. It was cool.
Yeah, it is cool. Yeah, it's but it's kind of the same now. There's still massive franchises, but it feels like now it's like, everything they want franchises. Like it's like what will be the next franchise and everything kind of gets like a level of hype and I don't know. It's kind of weird. Hey, let's do some pickups though. Should we do that?
Yeah.
Jake, you have anything tonight?
I just have one thing.
Well, kick us off.
Cool. All right. Well, I'm gonna continue my current obsession of, you know, Safubi and weird kaiju stuff, but I got this Kappa figure where he's driving a little pickle car.
Okay, that's amazing.
I've been wanting this guy for a while. This is Secret Handshake Toys. This was in my top 10 list on Monster Island. But yeah, I just had to have, he's just so happy and he's driving a pickle. So, you know, soft vinyl, it's where it's at for me these days. So
That's wicked. That's what I got. I got a pickle car as well. Should we do a pickle car run?
Yeah. Why does he have a pickle car?
I like how he's able to just go behind him. That's exactly what he's grabbing. Yeah.
That is going to show our age difference. I got a Richard Scarry pickle car from Busy Town.
Whoa.
I got that reasonably recently. The annoying thing, like these things are really cool. 1976, these ones. But the stupid seats are so shallow.
He can't fit in there.
Very dangerous. If you hit a wall, there's no way you're going to survive that. Anyway, pickle cars rule.
That's amazing. Now that I know there's more, I can start a pickle car collection and just have a whole.
We could have a pickle car rally. Why don't we have a pickle car rally?
Or we could buy cucumbers and wait a while until they become pickle cars. I'm sorry. Hey, listen, David Cabal with the super chat. Steve is the Doctor Who of the Toy Anxiety Universe. Okay, we'll take it. I don't know what that means, but we'll take it.
Does that mean I keep changing my face? I'm two-faced.
What does he say? I think he's maybe never heard a British person before. I don't
know. I'm a British person.
He's like, oh, he's doing a Doctor Who. Brandon Whitmore says, love Steve. Thanks for what you did with the Indie Retro line. Have a great night, all. Hey, listen, Brandon Whitmore, great guy. Biggest Indiana Jones fan I've ever met. Guy talks about it like all the time. I love it. Thank you for the super chats, everybody. Jacob, so you don't have any more pickups. Ryan, do you have anything?
I have nothing this week. All my stuff is on. It's in the mail.
All right.
But it's pretty basic. I got Marvel Legends in the mail.
All right.
Good. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, trust me.
I know the guy who runs that.
Yeah. You're going to buy another house thanks to me. You're going to buy.
I was going to say he's going to buy another.
Trying to hold the mortgages at the moment.
Another Detolf, but I think Detolfs are discontinued. We need to find there's got to be a replacement.
It's time for the Detolfs to end.
I haven't seen anything near it. I've seen a couple, but like you can go on like, what's that place called? Wayfair? But there's hundreds and hundreds
of dollars. So much money. Yeah. Actually, I think Jake and I talk all the time about coming up with a Detolf alternative, an affordable Detolf alternative.
Yeah, that's our Shark Tank idea.
That's our Shark Tank idea. Wait, dust, we should
free.
Yeah.
Cut this part out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't steal our idea. Don't steal our Shark Tank.
Don't steal our big Shark Tank idea, guys.
Sharks, we're toy anxiety.
Yeah. You ever heard of Detolf? They're like, what is happening? Steve, you have some pickups? I believe
recently. You saw my RoboCop,
which is RoboCop. Yeah.
I'm kind of getting back into Tron. I have all the original Tomy Trons.
Cool.
From
82. Those are good toys.
I picked up from my friends at NECA. This is NECA, isn't it? No, it's not. It's not NECA at all. Diamond Select. Thank you.
Picked up the pack
from Diamond Select. I'm a sucker for a few things. I like Tron a lot. And I'm also a sucker for translucent figures. So I kind of like, and I also going through this thing of like picking up what I call kind of big brothers. So it's like the original ones and then their modern counterparts.
Mm-hmm. That's
cool. And then also I picked up an old school LJN 1984.
Yep. I think I had one of those
when I was a kid. Yeah.
Yeah.
I still have mine at my parents' farm.
Same.
It really smells. So I picked up that. So I'm sort of like, I like comparing and contrasting. You can see now I'm finding another reason to collect stuff. I'm getting old retro stuff and then finding modern ones that dovetail with it, like Big Brother, Little Brother.
Yeah.
So again, I'm just making up reasons to collect stuff.
Sure.
And then laugh.
Collector way.
And then I've been also researching for my Tall Toy Tales, the origins of 375. So a lot of people think it's G.I. Joe or they think it's Hasbro, but it was actually... is actually Takara with Microman kind of in 1973. So I've been looking at Microman. I've just broken his thing now. Microman, and now this is a modern one, but it's like old Mark from Battle of the Planets, Gatchaman, Super Duper Ninja, whatever he's called. But like, that's really cool. I was really impressed with the sort of Microman. This isn't Takara, this is Medicom. I lose track of who's who, but he's new. I do like Battle of the Planets. I wish there was more stuff. More retro stuff for that. There is retro stuff, but it looks kind of weird. Gremlin, Tron, RoboCop, and Gatchaman.
That's a good mix. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
Cool. I've got a couple things. I'll shuffle through this stuff pretty quickly. We got a package. I didn't even know this was coming today. Our good friends at Phantasm Toys have some new releases, and they sent some stuff. We're going to show it off. If you guys know Phantasm Toys, Tony Taylor and Baducci making the Ghostbusters toys that were never made, and just really cool, unique stuff. So first, we've got Vinny and Zooli, the cool mini ghost terror dogs. I haven't taken these out yet. Look at that. That artwork's really cute. They do a good job on that. And nobody tell, you know, Hasbro has the Ghostbusters license, so nobody tell anybody at Hasbro what's going on here. And then we've got Parkageist, which is the red jacket from the new Ghostbusters movie, Haunted.
Okay, cool.
Steve, you might not know this. We're big Ghostbusters people over here, so.
This is what it's come to. We've made Attack Peter send us a super chat to get the link to get on the show.
Ryan, today. You said you sent it to him.
You did.
I thought I did.
And then Blinky, which is another really cool ghost. Oh, okay. So thank you guys for sending that stuff over. I will take detailed photos in a moment. Mike Hex says. Later tomorrow, next year. IKEA Blaladin is the replacement. $80 for
That's pronounced Schluckenlass.
Probably.
God, you Americans. You don't know any European language.
Now, does the Detolf replacement have like borders on it? That's what I hate. I feel like every shelf that's been sort of close has like a border or something that blocks visibility.
Right. You want
the full Detolf was just all glass.
Yeah.
I'm going to look it up.
And then I got a couple more things. I finally actually got these a couple weeks ago, but I never showed them off. So what better time than now? The McFarlane Multiverse Batman and Robin line. Hey, these are great. It's 2024. We're buying Batman and Robin figures with Build-A-Mr. Freezes. You know, you never thought you would see the day. So we got Robin, Ryan Dole. The Robin suit in Batman Forever is better than this one, but this one's still pretty cool.
It's still pretty cool. It's just Nightwing with red instead of blue.
How really, profound.
That's all it is. Hey,
Batman,
hang on 1 second. We all saw that release, that reveal that McFarlane did with that icicle Batman.
I saw that.
Yeah.
That guy. Okay.
That's like, you got more to say about that.
I emailed McFarlane's PR the other day. I'm trying to get Todd to come on the show to talk about Spawn, even though we don't really know much about Spawn. I'll listen to Todd McFarlane.
Oh, Spawn, you don't know much about Spawn.
Well, I don't. I don't. Alicia Silverstone, Batgirl.
Yes.
Yep.
And I think my favorite, this, they really knocked it out of the park. This is an awesome figure. Uma Thurman, Poison Ivy. And of course, the build of Mr. Freeze. I'm a big Batman fan, and I like the movies, and I'm happy to buy those. Happy to put those on the shelf.
I said, "What year was Batman and Robin?
97.
It was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I can remember walking out of the theater, and it's like I went last year. I won't tell you what I thought, but
yeah. Let's all record our out of the theater reactions for Batman and Robin. Because I remember it was one of the first movies we've talked about this before, but like one of the first times, you know, I was 12 or 13 or whatever, and thinking, huh, I don't think I liked that. I want to like that, but I better see it 3 more times.
It's no Batman.
That was me as a kid leaving He-Man.
Oh yeah.
When I was I was a kid and I was like, where's Battle Cat? Where's Orko? What movie was that?
you walk up to the ticket counter, you're like, hey, I'm gonna need my money back. That was not the He-Man that I was prepared to see.
That's Courtney so Cox though, she's gonna be something.
What is right? What is, here's a question for you guys. What is the movie you've seen the most in the cinema? What have you paid the most to go and see multiple times?
In the cinema?
Yeah.
I think for me, Independence Day is up in my top 5.
Oh.
It's probably because I saw that one a lot when it came out because I was like, this is the future. And now I work in VFX. Here I am.
That's what did it. Independence Day is what did it. That was your.
I think
your
that's thing. What did it. And I'm trying to think of what's another movie I saw a lot, because I saw like during that period of like the like to mid to late 90s to like early 2000s, I was going to multiple shows in theater. So like,
yeah,
all the prequels, I saw those tons of times in the theater, thinking I would never see them in theater again.
Right.
Guess who's going to episode one
again in May. For May. The third time.
Yeah.
For the third time. Well, maybe this time episode two and three will actually make it back into the theater.
Right. Right. They did not. Dude, prequel. It's bigger than ever. The prequels are everything right now. Like somehow, I'm right there with it. Somehow in the last 7 years, Star Wars is complete. Like I've never seen anything like that. It would literally be the equivalent if in like 15 years, I don't want to get political, but remember that we had that one president that a lot of people hated a couple years ago. It'd be like if in 15 years, everyone was like, you know what? Actually, not bad.
Pretty good.
Yeah, you know, like
that's what you're comparing it to.
Whatever era you're a kid,
yeah,
on the prequels, whatever era you're a kid, as soon as you get 25 and you got a bit of disposable cash and you realize, I'm on the way to dying in 60 years. Back, yeah, that was great. I love that. I want more of that.
That was awesome. But here's the thing, I was a kid.
Yeah, when was a time where the good old days weren't the good old days? I often think about that. If you go back to like medieval times in certainly my country, you were getting hacked and pillaged and macheted. Yeah. Like,
so Bill and Ted,
the good old days, but the good old days were always the good old days for everybody. Yeah. They always will be. So that's what I'm seeing. Right. Like prequels, like how much love for Hayden Christensen at the moment? Like
he's
that
guy awesome.
Didn't walk out of his house.
Oh man.
Right, right.
And bless it too. Like even like Ahmed Best and stuff as well, right? Like they're just actors. They don't deserve to get piled on like they did. No, so it's great to see them all kind of come around. And again, too, like my biggest thrill about the prequels, like I was like 19 when episode one came out, but that hype for it, that excitement, the toy release, the Force Fridays, all that stuff. It was such an exciting time. And it's, you know, we have yet to get that with anything since.
Real quick, I wanted to tell Peter he was on so he doesn't do something crazy.
I'm sitting back here and like there's no more exclusive conversation coming happening with Stevie, so I'm coming in now. I gave the first hour, that's it.
Pete, they did scheduled... you have to pay $1.99 to get that link?
Can you imagine?
Steve,
you're the new thing now, Stevie, but wait till you've been on a few times. You'll be paying to get on too, believe me.
I don't know.
Right now, it's rose-colored glasses. Oh, look, he's going for his detolf. How fun. It's novel. Oh, you have a pickle, too? Oh, I have a pickle. But,
then they dude, shove cool. the pickle where it's
two,
Sunday.
3 months, well. You'll be
thanks for coming on,
news.
Peter.
Yeah.
I told you guys he was going to come harass us.
Yeah.
Hey, real quick, we have a super chat from Definitive.
Let me try to get in again.
Coaster. And if Hector sends his money, we'll give it in, too. Coaster makes a cabinet that looks for the most part in the same exact dimension as the DTOF, available at Home Depot and Amazon.
Oh wow, Home Depot. Just I got one of those in my town.
That one that Mike said, was it Mike Hext said?
Yes.
The sluggish slobbin blobbins. Yeah. It's got like corners all over it.
It's got the black border around it. Get out.
Oh
no, what's it got? Thank you.
Mike
pigtails.
Isn't that a Hoban?
Glasses global? And overalls.
Yeah, classmates.
Peter, have you met? Have you guys met before? Do you know each other?
Briefly on Instagram, right before this. And there's nothing like tagging someone in a story to get, to make new Instagram friends. But more importantly, make sure that when Kyle comes on, he pays a lot more. Whatever I pay to get in, Kyle's got to pay at least $7.99 to get in from now.
Oh,
Super
dude,
7's got to pay.
Charge him. Well, we're Kyle has to pay $50.
Thank you.
Whoa.
To get on.
Yeah. Well, I think we can see.
The ultimate.
Hold on. We'll see hold what on. Trevor. We'll see what we can get out of Trevor, too. We'll do a
Listen,
whole. We'll do like
here's
an
the
auction.
Deal. We're not going to charge Super 7 $60 to get into the chat, okay?
We'll no, just like reaction prices.
We'll wait 2 months and pay $35.
Whoa. Okay.
They're used to playing that on the West Coast. It's expensive place.
Kyle's catching strays. He's not even here. Anyways.
No, but nice to meet you, Steve. Honestly, pleasure. I love following you on Instagram. It's a great follow.
I love following you.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Now. Look at this.
Yeah, exactly.
Peter, we're going to talk about your the big release here in a few.
I'm just here to chat. It's all right. Casual.
Fine. We won't mention it then. Yeah. This was a great question that Steve asked, though. I want everyone to roundtable it. What movie did you see the most in theaters? So, Ryan, you said it was what? What was your answer? The prequels?
It's probably Independence Day and the prequels. They're probably up there.
Jake, do you have one?
I don't know. Probably when I was a kid, I probably made my mom take me to see Jurassic Park the most. But as an adult, you know, I saw Ghostbusters Afterlife in the theater. I think 12 times, and I see Jaws anytime I can. Every year they put Jaws back in the theater, and I go every single year. So it's probably between that.
Yeah. I used to max out at 3 or 4 as a kid on movies I really loved. So like, probably Batman Forever, Batman and Robin, probably Episode 1. I think I saw Episode 3 3 times. I've never been like, we have friends who are like, I know a guy who saw a movie 42 times.
Do you know what the movie is?
I do.
Notice that he went from
tell me.
Well, it was Austin Young.
Oh,
and it was the 2016 Ghostbusters.
Austin, no.
Listen, it was 42 times.
Yeah, that's I don't have enough money to do that. So stupid.
Yeah, like that's good
grief. Well, Afterlife felt really special to me, and it was kind of this thing where all of our friendships have kind of happened because of Ghostbusters, so it was like, I just kept going to see it.
Steve, did you
I made my mom go. I mean, yeah. She doesn't care.
I know. Steve, did you have one in mind that you saw a lot?
The one I've seen the most, this will blow you away. View to a Kill, James Bond. In like 1994, I was 11. And in England back then, that was when the 12 rating came out. So I'm that freaking old. And it was, the woman wouldn't let me in because I'm 6'3". I was really tall. She goes, you're over 12. I was like, no, I'm not. I'm 11, which kind of plays against it because I wouldn't have been allowed in. But she tried to charge me full fare, as it were. And I was like, no, I haven't got enough for an adult payment. So she said, well, you can't come in. So I went home, got my passport, got on the bus, came all the way back and just went, there you go, see how old I am. So that was, and I went in, and then I wrote to complain to the theater afterwards, and they sent me free tickets to anything I wanted to go and see. And I went and saw View to a Kill again.
do you think writing to complain to the theater has come back later in life to haunt you?
No.
We have a whole segment we do every week called Sad Comments. You do not have to stay for it because we don't want to get people in trouble, but we like to give a voice to the voiceless and highlight some of the fun comments we find from toy collectors on Instagram and stuff like that.
Oh, that's great.
It's pretty fun. We have a super chat from Johnny Cox, says, shots fired by Craig. I love that you found a place to play clearance chicken this year. Great show, everybody. Happy birthday, Mr. Jacob. Yes. Jacob, your birthday's actually coming up.
It is coming up.
Yeah. There you go.
I got to meet Johnny Cock a couple weeks ago at MegaCon. Super nice dude. He gave me a beautiful creature from the Black Lagoon print based on one of his paintings. He's a great artist. I don't know if you guys know that.
Yeah, he is awesome.
Yeah, really cool.
That's awesome. We've got a
monkey bone, by the way.
We've got a talented viewership here at Toy Anxiety.
Yeah.
You won't find this kind of talent this weekend. Chance. You're going to see him?
Yep, I am.
All right. There you go. Peter, what movie have you seen the most?
Monkey Bone.
Oh, Monkey Bone. What is that?
What? What do you mean, what is that?
Does that surprise anybody that Craig has never
Are you like a guy who doesn't know stuff?
Yeah, he is.
Oh. It's Brendan Fraser's Finest Hour.
I'm going to admit, I was looking it up. I was like, yes, an animated thing with live action.
It's like, it's actually Spider-Man 2 and Monkey Bone are tied for most times I saw them in the theater. Monkey Bone is phenomenal. And Private Parts came up second place. I saw that a few times, obviously. Oh, yeah. But Monkey Bone is Brendan Fraser and John Leguizamo voicing this toy monkey figment of his imagination, kind of like a Roger Rabbit Cool World thing, but with I don't know, actually it's not that animated. It's a weird movie. I'm pretty sure I was under the influence in high school at the time. The first time I saw it, I was laughing out loud at not funny parts on my own.
That happened to me when I saw Kung Pao, and I was like, this is the funniest movie I've ever
seen. Yeah.
Hey, wait a minute. I love the comment. Peter goes, is Craig one of those guys who just doesn't know things?
I got the answer I needed from Jacob real quick. In and out. In and out. You didn't even know that I asked that question until 10 seconds later. Don't worry about it.
I didn't know what monkey bone meant.
Speaking of pickups, look what I got.
Let's see it.
Jacob.
What do you got? What do you got? Hey.
This guy just arrived. Got a little Rodan with the magnetic Mothra larva. Really like these.
Yeah.
And what's this? Another Rodan. Look at that. This is the glitter one.
Look at that.
And this one's also magnetic.
Those are great. There you go. Dude.
So really cool Sufubi. Speaking of Sufubi, right?
And, I thought I ordered one of those, but I'm not sure. I think I thought I ordered the cherry blossom.
Oh, if I get one of those in, if you didn't get one, I'll send you one. And then check this guy out. I don't know if you guys. I don't think a lot of people slept on this variant, the classic Trapjaw. This is my single favorite figure in our 1/6 He-Man line right now. The classic Trapjaw. It's so crazy.
That's awesome.
These colors pop.
Yeah. Yeah.
Steve, do you do any of the 1/6 or Hot Toys or Sideshow style stuff?
I got a few. I got like a Chris Reeve. I got a Keaton Batman and a Spider-Man PS4.
Oh, they're nice. There's nothing like a Spider-Man Hot Toy figure. It's like the most fun to pose. All yep. the suits, like, you know, you get the cool realistic bends. It's just phenomenal.
And the eyes don't fall out. So
yeah,
my Michael Keaton's gone.
Oh no! Oh, yeah. It's got that dynamic eye system. It's a trap. Not, never mess with it. That's the secret.
It's dynamic now.
It looses them up, and I think that happened to my Christian Bale one.
No, it's like a surgeon. You need to be a surgeon to get those eyes to make sense. You know, like it's not as easy as it looks. And they're individual. Like you don't move them together. Like your eyes move. That's right. My piece of advice for Hot Toys. If you're watching Howard Chan, just put them together, you know, one movement.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah. So, Peter, before we get to the – I kind of want a round table. I came up with a couple of fun discussion topics tonight. Good. Actually, I just came up with this off the top of my head. But, Steve, since you're retro, we talk about play sets a lot here. Do you have any like holy grail like play sets or big items that are on your wish list that you're hoping to knock out in 2024?
Not play set wise, I don't think. I don't have the space. I like to keep everything in my cabinet, so nice and mm-hmm. small. But like my biggest grails are, I love the Ralph Bakshi 78 Lord of the Rings animated movie. Those figures from Knickerbocker.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bloody expensive though. But
those have been on my list. I picked up the Gollum, Sam, and Frodo. But it's like those are the three that are kind of affordable. And then after that, we saw the Gandalf at where were we, Craig? I don't know.
It was in South Carolina at that toy show, yeah.
And I mean, I stared at it a lot, but I was like, there's no way I can afford this. I was like, I guess I just got the three.
It's good that you got Sam and Frodo, because you can't get them with their swords and sheaths easily. I've got Aragorn and Gollum, but I need the rest. But again, there's like eight of them. I don't count the horses, but no, that is with the horses, but yeah. But to your question, Craig, sorry. No, you're good. I don't think no sort of play sets or big pieces. I'm usually figure guy.
Cool. Yeah. Everybody's got a different perspective on it. I love play sets, but they do take up a lot of room. In fact, I bought the Mattel Creations Eternia, but I sold it a long time ago. But it just showed up today, so I got to ship it. It is so big. I am jealous. It would be fun to put together, but like, I know I would get rid of it eventually because it's just, I'm not a big He-Man guy. It's just too much. But Steve, I kind of want to get your perspective on that. There's more companies now moving towards these large scale items, and like Hasbro, you guys weren't the first ever to do crowdfunding, but HasLab kind of set a new standard. Like, I don't know. I'm just complimenting you. It's awesome. I think it's great. I really think it's great. And I think, you know, Mattel Creations kind of is now doing what you guys did first. So
congrats. It's just a way of getting it out there. You know, I was chatting with my marketing partner at the time, and it's like, how are we going to do the barge? Everyone was joking about it. It was an urban myth. You know, they get these urban, they'll never do the barge because it's too big and it won't sit on a shelf. And no retailer's going to stock that without whacking it to clearance in 2 days. And it's like, yeah, they're right. So with this Kickstarter thing was going on, and we're like, why don't we just crowdfund it? That way we make as many as we need, and we make it if there's enough people that want it. And it might work and it might not work. And it was the first one, and it worked just about. Got, you know, because not many people knew about it, but we got it, and we've had ones that worked and have ones that haven't worked. But in my mind, that's all right. That's part of it. I don't complain or whinge, to use an English word, about whether something doesn't fund, then it wasn't the right thing. That's fine.
I do. I think you should give Cookie Monster a redo. 100%.
The Cookie Monster. I would love the Cookie Monster in my corner, but
I would love that. I think because it was so early on in those days that people still weren't sure what to do.
Yeah.
I think if you were to do it again now, Cookie Monster would fund in an hour.
Damn. Wow, bold prediction.
Bold predictions from Dole.
But yeah. It's just another way of getting things out to people, you know, because the landscape's changing. You know, retail is still important, but there's online. There's so many different ways of getting stuff out there. So why not experiment and play around with different methods?
Sure.
Best thing, in my opinion, about the HasLabs and those kind of things is the amount of marketing, authentic marketing beats you get throughout the release, right? Because, you know, you get there's reasons to talk about it all the time, and it kind of fits more with the landscape of how we, you know, interact with our community, right? There's always a YouTube show, you know, at different points in the week to cover something new that's going on. And with a timed campaign like that, like when we do timed releases for our figures, they're not crowdfunded, but it's still a limited window that you want to talk about this thing over and over again. It's great because it's not just like, hey, did you buy it yet? Hey, did you buy it yet? There's reasons to talk about it. So it's I think it's cool for that reason, especially.
It's funny, when I kind of came into this new job, it was like, listen, it's about making product. But it's also there's a Venn diagram that I haven't quite worked out the size and scale yet. But it's like, it's also about engagement. Like this, these social media links us all together, and it's all about the stories and the narrative and the journey. So like when we did the barge, it was like, all right, we're going to do it. We launch it. We did a reasonably nice, you know, video to launch it. But then afterwards, I didn't create any marketing stuff. It was all the fans making badges and hats and back the barge and things. And then when it got backed, I literally had my phone. And I was just filming when we got in deco models, or when we went to we got footage from the vendors, and we just put it out. And it was just, as you say, Pete, it's just authentic, almost guerrilla marketing. And it doesn't have to be super slick. It's actually better if it isn't, in my opinion.
Sure.
It's just, this is, you guys, you people have helped us make this. So we're keeping you up to date.
Yeah,
it's like just an update memo.
I love that. And the other thing the barge came with as well that I wish it all the HasLabs came with, they had that making of book.
Yeah, it was awesome.
And it was like that to me. I was like, that is so cool. I think all HasLabs should just come with that, because it just seems like such a special little add-on. Like it's just, I don't know. I like that stuff.
I've got one in back there that's a misprint. They printed off a number of them, excuse me, and they bought a whole stack in. Said, "Hey, it's a new book," and I gave it a quick look. And on the back page, instead of HasLab, it says HasBlab. And I remember going to Chris, who was the who led graphics, and I was like, "There's a typo." And he goes, "No, there isn't. I've read it." And I said, "Right on the back, HasBlab." And he was HasBlab.
We're gonna start using that. Well, yeah, we had Steve on. He wouldn't stop HasBlab at all.
That's a great name for a YouTube channel to just comment on HasLab stuff.
But I've got one of those. I've got that one with HasLab. I think we threw the rest away.
I mean, it's interesting too. Real quick, Peter, it's like, and you guys can all talk to this, Peter and Steve. Like now, you know, we talk a lot about the you know. the YouTube streams and the different marketing teams that, you know, Ryan Ting and Daniel and Dwight and what they do. And like, we sometimes forget, like, these are all professional marketing people, a lot of them with, you know, high levels of education, who have dedicated their life to becoming marketing experts, who are now being asked to be like TV personalities too. And that's really, it's a really hard thing to do. And everybody does a really good job. And I think, I just want to make sure that we acknowledge that, because, and I know we always do, but it's not easy to get on a live stream and debut new products knowing that it's live and it's stressful. And every word you say is being analyzed by like 5,000 people in a live chat. It's just a lot. So I have total respect.
Oh, and fans are insane.
I wasn't going to say it, but
I mean, and your licensing partners, they're watching too. You know, that's the other side of it. So like,
you
got to be careful from both ends, but you know, there are some companies out there, I won't name them, that I don't think have gotten the memo, the importance of being authentic and removing pretenses when doing this, you know, especially I think after COVID and everybody spent so much time watching YouTube more than ever before, people started channels, you started getting familiar with when someone's talking at you versus talking with you. And so when you go back and see those old marketing models come back, it really rubs me the wrong way. And it's turned me off to buying stuff in the past. And I noticed those own patterns in myself. So, you know, to all the people who are out there who really just enjoy the community and make those marketing pushes just an extension of this, that's great. That's what works, in my opinion. And it feels natural.
Yeah, that's awesome. I thought you're going to call out a bunch of I thought you said you're going to you
that's
said
for the Patreon after dark. Okay, yeah, dude. Yeah. I got a list. Yeah. We're going to slam it to the wall right here.
Right.
Boom.
Right. You're like, the following companies don't know what they're doing. LJN. Colico.
Galoob.
Just old companies that don't exist anymore.
If Galoob just made Micro Machines today, they'd still be in business. That's all I'm saying.
What, okay. Why is Dino Riders impossible to bring back? Steve, you know stuff. Craig doesn't, but you know. What's up with Dino Riders?
I'm watching Monkey Bone off on the side here.
I did a
just catching up.
I did a recent kind of little poll on that, and the big ones that need to come back. And it was Mask was number one, and I think Dino Riders was number two, I think.
Yeah. It's wild because I feel like that one has been aped so many times in different ways. Like, just
yeah. There's so many other like smaller companies right now doing figures that are like almost Dino Riders or dinosaur versions of like He-Man, and it's like, okay, everybody's really close, just do Dino Riders.
Well, I forgot the guy's name, but I think he did work at Hasbro actually. But he did, maybe I got that wrong, but he does like Beast of the Mesozoic or whatever.
Yeah, Creative Beast Studios and Beast of the Mesozoic.
Those are
doing
phenomenal. Yeah,
those, they're awesome.
Yeah, why don't you just hand them the license?
Dr. Alan Grant?
They should.
I know things.
Hey, those Beasts of the Mesozoic figure, I have a bunch of just their regular like dinosaurs. They're some of my favorite toys.
They're awesome. Great.
Yeah.
So, Peter, do you want to talk about Creature?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Big day. I don't know if you know this, Craig, as a guy who knows things or doesn't. I mean,
he's never
50-50.
Seen it.
Creature.
He's never
Black
seen
Lagoon.
It. He doesn't know that it's the 70th anniversary.
Craig, can you just see your way to the back room so I can talk to Jacob, a real gentleman here? But yeah, the 70th anniversary of the Creature from the Black Lagoon, like probably one of the greatest special effects applications, prosthetic, like real handmade a costume that still holds up. Like when you watch that movie, Craig, if you ever get a chance of watching it, piece of classic cinema. It's incredible, like the way that still feels like a real creature in many scenes, especially when that, like that bladder effect in his jowls are moving and pulsing. It's insane, you know. So it's equally crazy that I was allowed to do a take on the creature myself. So the vinyl figure that I designed, we released it today. It's a timed edition. It's only until Friday before lunchtime. It's important to say that because people don't really read 12 p.m. screws everybody up. It's 12 p.m. is noon Central.
Well, this is such a long, you know, it's, I know, like, you know, you guys have made some changes over at Mondo. I was talking to my friend Hal.
Tell me.
Earlier, and I was like, Hal, you getting that creature figure? He's like, oh, I got an alarm set. And I'm like, well, Hal, it's not This is not gonna sell out. You got a couple days, you're gonna be okay. He's like, what? Like, don't worry, it's gonna be
a double-edged sword though. And sometimes I see the people freaking out in the comments. I'm like, let them freak out. Because those people, if you tell them no, you have till Friday, they're gonna miss it. And every single time dude, we just did a timed release for that Godzilla Minus One poster, and it was up for quite a few days. And just the second it comes down, just missed it. Is it coming back up? And so I feel bad for those people. I'm like,
I just missed it. These are the guys that go to McDonald's every day at 11 asking for breakfast.
So
I just missed it.
I just so close, you know?
Yeah.
But one of those guys is going to invent time travel. The whole point,
a McMuffin in the morning.
If only
TVA comes out, zap.
The whole plot is for that Deadpool movie is McMuffins. So the crazy thing is, and then kind of like piggybacking off what we're talking about with the HasLabs and being able to do a timed edition that's limited and something direct to the customers, figures like this would never exist if there wasn't like a direct market, a direct contact with you guys, the collectors. Because, you know, that's how we could get this out. We're not making a ton of these. You know what I mean? These will be whatever's pre-ordered in this window, and that's it. You know, and so it's awesome because we get to take these crazy swings, like the Jesse Hernandez, Urban Aztec, Godzilla, the James Grohman stuff. Those are pieces that wouldn't exist otherwise. So it's an awesome setup. But check this out, because we're toy fans. I got the first vinyl pull here. Look at this. Give me the one, Craig, please. Craig, act like you've been here before. There you go. So this is the first, the ones that you guys saw at DCon was like a painted 3D print.
Yeah.
But this is an actual vinyl figure. So it's got the articulation in it. It's the first vinyl pull. And this one, you know, they got the wrist articulated. The head is articulated.
Is it going to be, when you put it out, will it be a little better than that though?
Better than this? Like, you mean it will be painted smart ass? So this, Craig, let me handle the jokes, dude. You see, I'll send you private chat jokes. So just hold on. Let me just finish what I'm doing here. Then we can have.
It's obviously amazing.
But this one, it's got all the cool carved texture on it, and it's cool because it's a vinyl casting. I'll give you a behind the scenes thing I haven't told anybody. This one is a reject technically because it came out too squishy. See that?
Oh, he's got a squishy belly.
I love this, but most people would probably feel like it's not a premium thing if they could squish it like that. It's like rubber ducky.
That makes me feel more like it's a vinyl toy.
Right.
I like that. It makes me
because true slush molds, like real Sifubi, are softer usually and a little squishier. So I like tend to resonate towards that. But like, you know, X Plus figures and other vinyl figures, and even Armando vinyl, they're not that soft. And you don't want them to be that soft because over time they can warp and their ability to stand would be affected. But I'm super stoked because like I got them out of the box and it just feels good in the hand. It's like that thing we talked about with the Ninja Turtle soft vinyls. Yeah. Like this feels like what a toy felt like when I was a kid to me as an adult now, this scale, you know, so really stoked on that. But yeah, man, they're still letting me do it.
That's cool.
That's amazing.
I used to go to bed holding a Gamorrean God.
That's awesome.
But I know what you mean. It's just sort of ergonomics.
There's something about it. There's something about it, man. And there's some figures that they just feel really good. There's that Mattel Swamp Thing Comic-Con exclusive with the rubber skin. You guys know what I'm talking about? It's got like the ratcheted joints. Yeah. You ever seen that one? It's like the Bernie Wrightson design. It's an awesome figure. But that one feels incredible. There's certain figures that
Craig's Googling Bernie Wrightson, right?
Swamp.
Yeah. I saw his fingers.
I was looking up Mattel Swamp Thing. You know, I know a lot of stuff, guys. You want to talk about topics I know about?
Golf. We'll talk about some golf.
Yeah, let's talk about golf. Talk about weather.
Hey, Peter, that toy's awesome. I pre-ordered it.
I appreciate it, man. I appreciate it. There's a bunch of the reaction's been insane. It's like my biggest social media post I ever put up. It's crazy. And I'm over here monitoring the sales, doing awesome. So thanks to so many of you who already reached out and screenshotted the fact that you ordered it or DM me. I appreciate all you guys very much. Thank you. But you have until Friday, 11:59 Central Time, a.m.
Okay. There you go.
Right? Egg McMuffin, then pre-order the figure. That order.
Jason, don't worry about it. I let them have their fun. But we all know that if I die, YHS and Toy Anxieties go with
it. Oh, is that a challenge?
It's in his will.
I already secured hasblab.com, so we're good.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Craig's the best.
Hey, Peter, the thing about Craig that toy roll. Is oh, like...
Craig's great.
About the you way? Know, you did... It makes me, like, just wonder... you know, so you did a couple Godzilla pieces, you know, like in your style, and now you're doing Creature, but it's like, I know that this is not a question we could probably, you might not even know the answer, but it's like, do you do more?
Settle down, not Craig.
Do you do more Universal Monsters? Do you go back to Kaiju? Are you going to do something? Because it's like, you know, when we watch you do your stream on Wednesdays where you're always carving something, every single one, I'm like, well, that makes a cool toy. That makes a cool toy. Is that the goal to just do like all different? Are you trying to stick in a like
every day? Every day I wake up employed is a huge victory. So after that, it's icing on the cake. Right. The fact that they let me design the toys at all, right? I still honestly, like I told you guys before, but there was a good year and a half where I had started to make my name as an artist and I started pitching turnarounds to different studios or different toy makers, you know, not necessarily like the big box ones, but someone who might actually make a designer vinyl figure. And all the responses were like, hey, it's really cool, but it's a little artsy for us. Or, hey, it's really cool, but it's too flat and graphic. It'll never work in 3D. And these are real big, like great names who design great stuff, you know, and they were being very nice about it and practical about it. Hector's the only one who was crazy enough to try it. And so when he tried it and it worked, we said, okay, well, what else? Godzilla's where I feel comfortable and safe because there's been a great reaction so far. But yeah, I did want to come out with this one in a different line, you know, and come out color right out the gate. Cause I usually do a black and white one first to see what the reaction would be. And I was shitting my pants. You know, honestly, like the whole time, every time we do one of these, I get imposter syndrome and freak out. And this is where I'll be exposed. And, but thankfully everybody showed up, everybody loves it. And, I'd love to do a Wolfman next, but it's honestly like, because of Hector being so great and Mondo being so great, I could just say, I want to do blank other thing. And they'll be like, cool. Let's see if that makes any sense. And we'll work on it. So yeah. What should
That's
I do
amazing.
Next?
That's amazing. Well, guys, if you have ideas of what Peter should do next, put it in the chat. Give some real-time feedback.
Yeah.
Hey, Steve, we're at an hour. I know you're not feeling well. If at any time you need to bail, please do. Don't let us hold you. Please don't die on this. But I did want to ask you as far as...
It'd be big for ratings.
Yeah, it's for the Nielsen rating. Yeah. Guys, we did a 3.3 last night.
Take that, Geek Dad.
Yeah. But
Geek
Steve,
Dad.
You're in your new role, like what does the rest of the year look like for you guys? You guys planning pretty busy. Big, pretty busy. You guys got some big plans you can at least
do. Yeah, I mean we're kicking off 26 now. So with thinking about that. I'm just trying to catch up and do some planning and work out what we want to do in 26.
Yeah.
You know, we'll make a lot of stuff. You know, like how many? God, I don't know. 300 plus things. So
yeah, is it hard? Busy. If you're over Marvel and Star Wars, how do you balance that? Is it?
Well, at the moment, it's a bit swayed towards Star Wars because I'm coming back onto that, having not been on it for a while. So I'm looking after that child a little bit more than my other child. So, but it'll balance out. And there are some things that we can do that are the same approaches. And you know, there's some fans that collect both, and collectors and fans are similar-ish, but then they have their very specific needs and wants. So
yeah,
I don't know to be honest with you. I haven't done it before, so I don't know how to do both of them. So we'll work it out. But yeah, it's spinning plates.
Well, I was thinking about like Star Wars in general as well. Like that's got to be tough to juggle, because Craig and I we attend these Q&As that the team does. And they always talk about how it's like, oh, you know, listen to the fans. We see all your guys' lists. We see all your guys' like little tournaments and all this kind of stuff that your fan votes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right. And I was like, how does someone like calculate all that? Because the fans, especially for Star Wars, are not on the same page at all. Everybody wants something different. There's 5,000 collectors and they're all choosing 5,000 different characters in two different scales. You know what I mean? So it's always like, I don't need to know how you do it, but man, I'll say this. I do not envy you trying to sort that out.
Well, listen, number one, no one ever has to apologize for passion about the things that they love. So that's the first one. But yeah, it's
right.
I'll never be able to provide everything that everybody wants. So like, right. As long as I realize that, that this stresses me a little bit. But then it's a question of like finding threads and finding commonalities and, you know, working with Lucasfilm and Marvel to kind of work out what they need to, what stories they need to tell. And it's a balance of like core stuff, some deep cut stuff, and knowing how many people want that and how many people want that. And it's not a science. It's more of an art, to be honest with you. And it's challenging, but it's a lot of fun. So. I'm not knocking it at all.
That's awesome.
Right.
Yeah.
And then are you also now then, because you're doing the fan relation stuff, are you the one that kind of like plans out this is what we're, which conventions you're going to attend and what you're going to show?
I'm involved in it. I'm involved in those discussions, but it's not me on my own. No, there's a group of us that sort of planning stuff out, where we want to go, what we want to show and reveals and timings and what we show and when we show it. So that's a fun part too. So we've got to think a lot about that soon.
Yeah. See, that stuff to me sounds fun. Sounds like a lot of work.
Well, I mean Comic-Con last year, the Ghost rollout was insane. Like, it was when they walked the convention floor holding that ship, it was like the Beatles were walking through. Or the Monkees. Both.
Monkey Bone.
Yeah. It was like they were screening Monkey Bone on somebody's iPad.
Look, everyone. It's Bridget Fonda. Look, she's really here. Yeah.
Oh, my God. They've done it. So, yeah, we can't wait to see what happens. And obviously, like Marvel Legends and Star Wars, you know, it's all great. I think sometimes we need a little bit of that like refresh button. Like, hey, like, think about how great it is to actually be a collector in this time period.
Oh, man. Yeah. I'm grateful all the time. I have an X-Men Marvel Legends collection that I could have only dreamed about. And it's one of those things where it's like, I look at my shelf and it's nothing but appreciation, because this is not the collection I had in the 90s. Right. Like, I have almost everybody, and it's like, it's amazing. It's amazing to look at and see all the different eras that have been made throughout comics through the Marvel Legends line as well. I love it.
Dr. Janosz Boha says, just want to thank Peter and Stevie for what they do for the toy industry. And if everyone needs a detoff, I've got some in the museum gift shop.
Oh, a little
reference there. I like
$499.99 each.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
I will need some soon. I don't know what I'm going to do. But anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Is that, Steve, is that a room? Is it like a basement? What is your setup?
It is my basement. I live on a very steep hill. So my house comes out.
Yeah.
And down. So my basement actually has like 12-foot ceilings.
Oh, nice.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I have to share it with my cats who are eyeing each other up, because everyone else has gone to bed because it's like 10:30 or something.
Yeah.
And they're eyeing each other up, and they obviously fight like cats.
Yeah.
When I'm using bed. So they're like, oh, Steve's down here. Let's just fight anyway. So if you keep seeing me looking, I'm like,
they're showing off. Them. Let's show them how we fight the toy room.
Yeah. She's looking at me. She's looking at me going.
I've got multiple cats looking at me as well. That's awesome. So, well, cool. Peter, what else? What else is going on?
That lizard figure that you guys did, Stevie, the Marvel Legends, like the retro lizard figure with the. It is. That's my current grail, man. Oh, yeah, I missed out on that one.
Yeah.
I'm going to just have to spring and pay the extra money for it as the penalty. I love that thing so freaking much. It's perfect. It's a perfect like figure.
That's your McMuffin?
Yeah. Fuck it.
That's cool. Yeah. Wait. We don't often get to do like bright.
Craig, you've heard of Lizard.
Yeah. He's the one who.
Oh, here we go.
Craig knows Lizard.
I was just trying to get the pitch out.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. Should we buy it live right now?
Oh yeah.
Do it. There's only one left in the world. It says right
if
here.
I super chat you $50 right now, will you just get it since you're already on the page? I'm not near my computer at the moment. That's why.
Will you get it and then ship it to me?
Yeah.
Craig, will you just buy this and then hold it until we see each other at Comic-Con in 6 months?
Right. Yo, I'll send you 20.
Don't forget to bring it.
I'll send you $20. Will you cover the rest?
Yeah, come on. It's so good.
Hey, this is a question for Steve and Peter. Does second when designing and planning release schedules and everything else, does secondary market value ever come up in strategy in any kind of way?
The way I want to answer that question right now, I'm trying to think. Go ahead, Steve.
Thanks. I'm trying to conjure my own PR-friendly response to that. We're definitely aware. You're always aware about what goes for a lot of money on the secondary market, or more importantly, what people want to try and get and can't get.
Right.
You know. So it's no secret that in Marvel Legends we'll bring back figures that we've done before, hopefully with new face sculpts or new extra accessories or something. But we're not blind to that at all. We haven't got a department that searches out the value of things on the secondary market.
Sure,
we're aware of it. Have to be.
Yeah, I think it's a good way to measure demand, right? So if something is continuously selling for crazy prices on eBay, there's a part of you that's like, oh wow, great, I'm glad people love it that much. But there's another part of you that means that that's a whole area of the market that's unserved, and how do you satisfy them without cheapening the exclusivity or the collectability of what came before and sold out, you know? So that's where it comes. It's on us to be creative about, is there a good way to do a new version of said character without it feeling like a cheap repaint or a cheap, you know, reskin, right? And so things like that are part of it. You know, and then there's the other aspect is, you know, sometimes it makes you realize what the whole market health is at the moment too. You know, like, in other words, it might be that some figure or some poster in our case, right, or record is going for an insane amount, and maybe we don't have the license or the desire to do said thing again, but it tells you a little bit about how the market is and how the collectors are feeling at the moment if they're going to chase something. There's always these waves in the collector sphere of everybody binging and stocking up on a certain thing, and then you'll see it on eBay for way more. Holy crap, I should have gotten that 2 months ago. And then, you know, a year and a half later, it's all back down to normal prices, and it kind of does this wave thing. I noticed that at least. And so it just gives you a sense of the health of where everybody's appetite is.
Yeah, it's an interesting discussion too, because I think it's a little bit different, because even though both of you guys are in the field of making collector specific product, something like a Marvel Legend or a Star Wars Black Series, it is still a mass consumer product where I don't think somebody should necessarily be penalized because they are a new collector and they missed out on something a couple of years ago. But collectors have very, like, binary takes on this. It's either you missed out, your fault, I don't care, I've been collecting for 5 years, I don't care if you do. And then there's the other half are like, welcome to being a collector. If there's anything I could do to help you, let me know. It's just like a very different.
I would encourage all my friends out there and fellow collectors to divorce your identity from the collecting that you do, because there is a If you're not short-sighted, right? If you're thinking about the future, gatekeepers kill this thing over time, and they will. They always will. If you have a community that's loaded with gatekeeping, your interest and your hobby, whatever it is, it will start to decline because less people are taking part. That's the reality.
Yeah.
I was at PowerCon last year, and I was blown away by how many people like Beasts of the Mesozoic there were out there. So many cool upstart companies. Those are entrepreneurs who feel like there's space in the market to try something new. And guess what? Those people take risks, and it pushes all the other big guys to do better and to do more and keep on their toes, right? So if you have that gatekeeper mentality, really be introspective about it. I think it's fucking terrible. Like, to me, if it was feasible, things would be on tap. And the reality is that it'll probably get to that point with 3D printing software getting better in the future, right? You know, but the reality is, realize that there's a real world attached to this stuff. Don't identify with it to the point where if someone else comes in, it cheapens your status in the community, right? And just enjoy it for what it is, because it is the luxury of luxuries, what we take part in, really, when you think about it.
Yeah, I think the thing that interests me is, you know, we're obviously of a certain age, and the generations, we need new generations to come in, because we're certainly not the eldest of this generation, you know, even me. You know, and I want to be enjoying these stories and these brands and these products when I'm 80 still. Like, I don't want to have to, like, can you imagine, like, hitting 80? And because everyone's been insular about it, and a lot of people have died because everyone's getting older, this generation is disappearing, can only crumble and dissipate the community. And therefore, as soon as the community gets less and less and less, there's less demand. Therefore, less products get made and things fall away and disappear.
That's it. That's it.
I don't want to do that when I'm 80. I still want to be playing with all my toys that I want and still be them buying things. So we have to bring in new collectors and a new generation. And yeah, they'll change it a bit.
Sure. But
if you welcome them in, they probably won't as much, because you then mentor them in.
Yeah, so, exactly.
I am going to get cremated, though, and then be put into an ectoglow mold. A 1/6 Peter Venkman Ecto Glow.
Dude, everyone's going to get cremated and put into a toy. That's the next pop yourself. That's the next, you know,
the next
whatever.
Pop yourself?
Yeah. Like,
they already put out.
Are you kidding me, dude?
I got a clear Aurora Mechagodzilla in there. It's already ready. All you do is pop it open pour the ashes in. It's good to go.
My grandparents' generation wasted their time picking plots. Who gives a shit? I know exactly which Godzilla I'm going to be buried in right now. Hey, you know what I mean?
Hey, you guys know how Jakey has that collection of 89 Godzilla 1989?
We're home, baby.
Eventually, all 89 of those are going to have dead people in them.
So morbid.
Oh. Generations to come.
I really like what you guys are saying, though.
From
because,
ash to petroleum byproduct.
Fossil fuels. I don't know. I know things. Peter and Steve, Gregory? Last time Ryan and I both have asked. It's unfair when you do the Hasbro Star Wars team roundtables. Like, we're really conscious of, hey, we can't ask about future figure releases and things that have been announced. So we try to come up with, like, other questions, but we ended up coming up with, like, really hard questions, I think. Like, and I remember we did kind of touch on this, which was, how do we ensure that the kids of today are the collectors of tomorrow? Like, that's a big question to ask, like, these poor people. But, like, that's better than being like, why is there
music for that segment?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know, but it is something I think about, because the, like Steve, like you were saying, like, the landscape of collecting changes in each generation, right? Yeah. Star Wars, part of the popularity with kids in Star Wars in the 1970s was the action figures. And then somebody brought up Power of the Force. Somebody wanted us to ask you earlier why Power of the Force is the greatest toy line of all time. If you have an opinion, you could give it, but that's somebody else's opinion. But it was a big part of the 90s and the resurgence of the Star Wars action figures. Yeah. So as Star Wars now, there hasn't been a new Star Wars movie. And the next time we get a Star Wars movie, it'll have been a 6 or 7 year window. So there's a whole new group. There's kids right now who are not born, or who were not born in 2019. Jesus when Christ. There's kids. Stop it. I got a point. I promise I'm going somewhere. There's kids right now who were not alive when Rise of Skywalker came out.
There's so many people not alive at the moment.
There's so many people who have not been born yet.
The majority of people.
Too many.
I'm going to get to this point. I'm going to make my profound point. Hold on. There are children who were not alive when Rise of Skywalker came out.
Facts.
Who will be 6 or 7 when the next Star Wars movie comes out. And that, to me, is exciting, but also really scary. But, like, this is where the new collectors can be born. Like, I do think it starts at that age. I really do.
So I have a, and this is a very symptomatic kind of attitude I have towards it. Is like, it's really important to obviously engage kids, because that's where we get our little warm feelings from, because we're safe and we're with our family. The majority of people are safe and it's a lovely time. And we have to push the kids to be older, to be engaged with products more, because they all at 6, 7, they're like, oh, I don't want toys. I want video games and sports. So we've got to push them a little bit further, like we were when we were younger, whether you're in the 90s, 80s or 70s. And then with the collectors, the older ones, they've got to hook them in early. So there's this sort of handoff. It's like a baton. It's like, hey, kids. Oh, that sounds really wrong. Hey, kids, come on. you got to educate kids about action figures and collecting, and then you've got to welcome them in and say there's a community out there that this is okay to be.
We're going to send Ryan Dole on a a tour of elementary schools. Like, it's the new DARE program, but it's to teach children about the importance of collecting Star Wars and checklists. I like
a barrel of monkeys. You just hook yourself in, you just go.
Everyone,
in a van down like, by most, the river.
With most people, like, I did a little bit of research on, within the community I'm in. It was like, hey, when did you all start collecting, like, when, or displaying? And I was surprised the majority, a lot of them were like, yeah, in my teens, which is usually the time where everyone just disappears. They just don't want it. I'm off. I'm boyfriend, girlfriend, or whatever.
I think they just don't talk about it when they're in that age.
Right.
Yeah. But it's,
like,
it's
just don't talk about it.
That's the downtime. That is the downtime. They come, the kids playing with the toys, they disappear. And if they come back because of nostalgia, because they get to 22, 23, and they go, oh, you remember when life was way simpler when I was 8? Ah, that's just luck in a way, I feel. So I think it's a bit of pushing up and pulling in.
I mean, I was definitely a teenager when, like, when I had the instinct to, like, buy wrestling figures, but keep them in package and hang them on the wall. And then I got a girlfriend, and I was just like, hey.
Then started buying DVDs.
Yeah, I've got 200 wrestling action figures on my wall. Hope that's not a deal breaker. Also, I've never seen Monkey Bone, but it hasn't been released yet.
But what also, it does.
But what like it does.
I'll have no idea. You know, I really think the part of the issue is, like, what is the purpose of figures for kids, like toys for kids, and like what need does it service? And I you know, all the friends that I grew up with, they have kids now that are all different ages, and the oldest ones are the ones that I watch in terms of when they start to, like, if they're still interested in toys or what, and what are they interested in. And it's always around what excites them. You know, it's like they want Fortnite toys, they want bendy toys, like, is a big one right now with some of my friends. Obviously Pokemon, and those are video games, and video games are what's exciting, you know, younger people more than anything else. And so figures to me as a kid were like, I'm not done enjoying Star Wars yet, I need a figure. I'm not done enjoying Ghostbusters yet, the movie ended, I want the figures to continue enjoying it, right? And so I think those are the challenges, because when we were young, it was a monoculture. We all were excited about Batman 89. We were all excited about Jurassic Park. It was like, we were all
We were all so excited for Saturday morning.
Yeah. There was, what I'm saying. Like, there was destination appointment viewing. You knew when you got to school on Monday, everybody saw the same Saturday morning cartoons. So you had an idea of what would work as toys. Now it's like, it's so splintered, right? There's like, everybody watches the different things. Other friends' kids love Bluey, so they have tons of Bluey figures. So it's that kind of stuff. The IP's got to be great. You got to have people making great stuff that inspires a desire to continue, you know, interacting with those characters. You know, like, if a movie comes out that's targeted at that demographic and it sucks, no one's going to want to see those characters again. You know what I mean? And so that to me is like how you get people interested in the first place, you know, organically.
This is a great conversation. I'll be sad when it ends.
cool.
I've been podcasting for 8 years. What a segue. Well, listen, we'll kind of start winding down. Jake, do we have sad comments tonight?
I think I might have a couple. I'd have to look. I think I got two. I don't have a ton. Yeah.
All right. Well, I will.
I was looking, and then I fell asleep and I took a nap.
Yeah, that's fine.
I'll be honest.
He's numb to the emotions in those comments now.
Well, you know, here's the deal. Sad comments originated, like, in the COVID era, right? It actually originated with, with NECA Ninja Turtles, where with the bots, the bots buying everything up on Target.com. And but
is that still a thing?
No, everything.
It is if you read Instagram. Comments.
Well, right. But like, by and large, a lot of like the COVID era complaints from toy collectors, a lot of them have been kind of rectified. I feel most product is easier to find these days, and it's accessible. And
it also becomes hard to find sad comments sometimes, because they're the same comments over and over. Like, people are saying the same thing, and we've been doing sad comments for so long,
right?
That's like, well, I'm not going to read the same one. Let's try to find the people who are really really upset about something specific and odd. Yeah. And like, those are the fun ones to do.
There's an art to your curation.
Yeah. People who are just really like,
we need to go and find some old Toy Fair magazines.
Those are good retro
get
ones.
Some retros, good. Some retro sad comments.
Yeah.
There's some
the 1 week we did the eBay feedback was pretty good too.
But oh, just reading people's feedback. Those. Yeah, yeah. Oh, we were just reading Amazon reviews.
By now, have you guys, after reading so many sad comments, have you guys gotten to a point where you kind of know the general complaint per company, or is it
I would say so. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I mean, really?
You're going to pack that R2 unit, not the pilot, with this new vehicle? Yeah, we already know.
Well, you're going to put this in a 2-pack, huh? Yeah. You're going to make me have to buy another Wolverine?
Yes. Right, yeah. Right, right.
It's the same stuff over
here. Yeah. I think with NECA, a lot of the time.
You're making it up. I never hear that.
Hey, Steve, I've watched those HasLab YouTubes, and I take my hat off to all those guys working on those because they plow through, and some of those comments are insane, man. Holy crap, guys.
Yeah.
You know what? I still watch the Ghost Reveal HasLab if I'm having a shit day. I will watch that. I will watch the Ghost Reveal HasLab.
What happened on that one? I did not.
It changes my whole like outlook for the day. Where it's just about shit. Like, yes, because I'm getting a fucking ghost. That's coming in the mail in September.
Hold on. October. That is a man who loves toys.
Yeah.
That when you have a bad day, you rewatch a toy reveal.
Watch a HasLab reveal. And then it's like, amazing. Oh, look at this. Like, yes. I can't wait.
I love that.
That's me.
That's the adult version of going back into the Sears catalog when you're getting closer to Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
100%.
It's like, I know I'm going to get you, little venom that squirts slime out of your chest.
Yeah. Oh, that's hanging up in my other room. I got that.
I love that one.
But, yeah, I love it too.
All right, well, let's you know, why don't we knock out sad comments here in a second, and we'll get out of here. Hey, thank you to so much our guests. I'm going to start that sentence over. Thank you so much to our guests. This was really a lot of fun, kind of a different kind of episode. Normally, we'd plow through some news and that kind of stuff, but it's really fun hanging out with you guys. And all joking aside, Steve, you do incredible work. And Peter does great work too. Come on now.
That's right. Under incredible, you notice.
Just incredible, great.
And then I know. Actually, I think it's flipped. Now we're both insulted.
Oh, okay.
But
way to go, Steve, Craig.
Let's set up our own podcast. We can
HasBlab.
HasBlab podcast.
HasBlab.
Oh man. But by the way, the chat was awesome tonight. We thank you guys for being here. So let's knock out sad comments and then we'll be done.
I want to see what this is because I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay, well, I do want to say they are both comment? from Hasbro.
So oh, no.
I just want to give you a warning.
That's all right.
Are they really?
They are, yeah. I didn't even think about it when I got them.
What brand are they?
Star Wars.
Oh, come on.
I didn't mean to.
You act like this guy's an amateur. He's been around.
He's a seasoned 25-year veteran.
I know.
It's not Daryl Strawberry in The Simpsons, right? Dude, where the tears.
He started in 1999 when Phantom Menace came out. He could take a hit.
Yeah.
Well, I remember doing some of these in front of Ryan Ting one time when he was on the show, and I was like, oh man, does he hate me right now for doing this? I remember it was like early on in our relationship with that guy. I was just like,
it's all in fun.
Hey, where's Abby? No, I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. Go ahead. I watched the show from the beginning.
Does Abby genuinely balance the show? Because I'm seeing a lot of comments.
She's great. Okay. I get the same comment when Gabby was not on one episode. My wife's Gabby of one episode, and people came up to me at Designer Con like, "Hey, we really like you, and we like your artwork, but you need Gabby on the show.
Don't do it. He's your wife.
Yeah, you know this."
I thought she was your sister.
I know, that's the thing.
All right, so Jacob Walsh, Star Wars, sad comments, Hasbro.
E-Wing.
On the E-Wing. Oh, how could anybody have anything to say about that?
Yeah, that's awesome.
They're so ridiculous. That it's
all right, here we go. All right, sad comments, WYHS Radio for Mr. Peter. Here we go, Jacob. I'll make you IMAX style. Here we go. Got the music.
All right.
from Instagram.
100 dollars? Really? How does a family man justify that? I know my boys would love this. That's ridiculous.
I always mute myself before you start, just in case I start.
How does a family man just... I love this. Man.
I picture that guy's live in a log cabin, right?
That dude does not have a family.
That dude does not have a family. Shit.
All right, here we go. Number two.
All right, are, one more.
That wasn't one more. Too bad.
We've no, it's not that bad.
That was nice.
All right, here we go.
I'm going to mute.
Second tech on. Here we go.
Hi. I really appreciate you creating more vintage. But I have a problem with you charging over $100 for a non-electric toy. I have been collecting for about 20 plus years. I have seen your prices skyrocketing. You are starting to price me out of collecting, which is sad because I love it. Food for thought. Also, how does a four-pack action figure set go from $44 to $89 in just 2 years?
Bro, this is the price of eggs?
Yeah.
Do you live in an economy, bro?
Yeah, do you live in this country?
Do you live in an economy?
they talk to some of these people as if like we run the Fed. Like it's like we're making toys, you know? Yeah. Like, believe me, if we can make them real cheap.
Yeah, the pricing me out thing, I just feel like that's ridiculous because it's like, hey, do you buy anything else ever? Because, like, every single thing you buy is, it goes up every year.
I'll tie this back to the question you asked me earlier, Craig, about the secondary market, you know, about, not that it had anything to do with me, but after I got hired at Mondo, we made a change into raise the prices of our posters. And, you know, part of that was the instant sellouts and the fact that a lot of them would turn up on eBay for hundreds and hundreds of dollars more. And like, how is this fan friendly? So like you raise the prices by 20 bucks on these and they're still crushing and they're selling out. So it's like there is a reality where you're always looking where you can make up the rise of cost of everything, dude. Screen printing costs are through the roof now, so just like everything's up. Oh, man.
It's crazy. I mean, I went to the grocery store last week. As a family man,
I can't even eat eggs.
As a family man last week, I went to the grocery store and it was like $300, and I got home and I put everything away and I was like, what do we, there's nothing here.
As a family man, you put the bag down and it's like empty.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You turn it around.
Yeah, so
well, listen, we need an as a family man segment now.
Yeah, we need an as a family man segment. listen, guys, this is a ton of fun for us. Peter, we want everybody to go to Mondo and order
shop.com.
MondoShop.com, order their creature. Steve, we're gonna be following Hasbro as always, Star Wars and Marvel Legends this year. We got there's so much great content coming, and we know you guys are gonna support that content with incredible figures.
Sydney Sweeney, towards... Spider-Woman. Calling it.
Just calling it.
Yep.
What was it? Say it again. I missed it.
Yeah, Sydney Sweeney.
Ryan called me last week and was like, dude, they're doing a Madam Web wave of Marvel Legends. I was like, are they?
Yeah. I was like, they have to. They have to. Yeah.
We have to. Okay.
That's just me putting it out there in the universe.
It's just manifesting.
I'm just manifesting.
Yeah. Family manifesting.
Yeah, it's like my as a family man, I like to manifest Euphoria action figures.
Yeah, that just say that. That's a better chance of selling.
Yeah.
So listen, guys, this was a really
being
fun,
seen.
Right. This was a really fun night. Everybody can follow us here on the channel. Make sure you subscribe whether you're listening on the YouTube channel live or after the fact or the podcast feed, wherever you find us. And don't forget, in the next 3 weeks, the beginning of Firehouse Fridays. Yes, have some podcasts. Jacob, Abigail, and myself, we flew all the way to London. That's right. A whole other country. And we hung out on the set of Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. We did behind-the-scenes content, and we are releasing it all to the world as soon as Sony says we can, and they still have it, but we're working on it. That'll
promise
be coming up.
And it's soon.
Cool. Yes, yeah, it's good. It was a really the experience of a lifetime for us, and we can't wait to share some of that. And then the new movie Ghostbusters: Frozen Empire will be coming out in March, and we'll be covering that extensively on the YHS YouTube and podcast channels. For Jacob Walsh, Ryan Dole, the missing Abigail Gardner, attack Mr. Peter, and Steve Evans. Everybody have a great night. We will see you next time. Bye.
I'll see you tomorrow in Gotham City tonight. Allison.
All right. There you go.
Bye now. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.